Okay, guys, and welcome back in to the Trail Count Podcast. It's your boy, the Handsome Heel Trail, coming at you today on this lovely Saturday afternoon from Los Angeles. Hope everybody's having a great weekend and had even a better week going into the weekend. A lot of things to cover, man. What a week as usual. A lot of things went down in the wrestling world to cover, and obviously today we have Wrestle Dream, man, going down here just in a little bit, coming up. AEW Wrestle Dream, I believe, live from St. Louis today. So I'm definitely going to be a good card. I am looking forward to the Darby Allin versus John Moxley match. Obviously, and you guys know I'm not like a huge AEW guy, but I do watch all wrestling. I have to put that out there if it's your first time listening in. Speaking to my listeners, shout out to everybody listening on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you may get your podcast. We are not live today on IG. I don't know. I didn't I really didn't just feel like getting on live today. So I'm just doing a pod here real quick in my house. I'm kind of busy today. Got a stacked schedule, getting ready to head out here to the gym. So just was kind of in a rush. Well, never in a rush, but a stacked schedule. And then I don't know, guys. I just wasn't feeling the whole video pod today, so I just didn't do it. And that's kind of my advice. And not to get off track here from the pod, but real quick, that's kind of my advice to a lot of beginners like myself, beginner podcasters. If you're not feeling something, then don't do it, because more than likely, you're gonna put a bad product out. And I mean, I'm just what 11. Well, this is my 12th episode. So, but that's my advice. I mean, I say that because I have a lot to learn as well, being a podcaster. So that's all I want to kind of put out there. So today, just kind of doing the audio only thing. I don't have Jules on today. He'll be back on a later episode. Sometimes we just can't get our schedules to get going, or I decide to go in alone and kind of just jump in real quick. So, anyways, with that all being said, like I said, back to Wrestle Dream. That is, obviously, Tony Khan always has a ton of matches on these AEW pay-per-view cards. I mean, a ton. I think it's going to be like a 4 or 5 hour show. It's insane, which I'm not complaining, but it's a lot of wrestling, right? But I will say the match that stands out to me on the card of many matches will be the Darby Allin versus John Moxley I Quit match, only because the story telling, which in my opinion we don't always get a ton of from AEW, but in this particular one we do have a good amount of storytelling. We do have a good amount of build up, as far as even this past, I believe it was Wednesday or so, or the last Dynamite they did, the promo with him and Darby Allin, like in the I guess it looked like a prison type holding setting or whatever it was, but it was a great promo video. If you haven't seen it, go back and check out Dynamite. That one really convinced me that, okay, I need to invest into this match. I need to watch this match. And I mean, these guys are both insane. We know that Darby Allin and John Moxley, I mean, these guys are crazy off the charts. So the thing is, neither one of these guys are gonna say I quit just off of any old thing. So it's very, I want to see what they're gonna do that causes either one of these guys to say I quit. I mean, this is maybe one of the most gruesome matches that's ever been done, maybe, or at least in AEW. So I definitely can't wait to see it. You got two, I mean, as far as character-wise, two crazy, insane guys who are willing to do anything to each other to win. So I feel like, and not just me, I'm pretty sure all eyes will be on that match. Very, very interesting to see. But let's jump into the big trending topics, which over in WWE this past Monday night, we had the Vision breakup. We had Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed turn on Seth Rollins during Monday Night Raw, and that was unforeseen. And I think a lot of people, So I don't think so with this, I don't think it was unforeseen. Okay. But I when I say unforeseen, I think it was unforeseen for it to happen so soon. I've been listening to other podcasts and other influencers and just other fans, and I've talked to people, and I think we've all come to that conclusion that it wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe that the Bronze, you know, turned their back on Seth Rollins. I think we all saw it coming at some point. Even when Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed first joined that group, just due to the history, first of all, between Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins, I saw that coming. And then also with Bron Breakker, just his whole attitude, everything he's about, there's nothing about Bron Breakker that says follower, that gives like a lackey or somebody's henchman that's going to hang around for the next, like, you know, 2 years and do somebody's bidding. I felt like each one of these guys mostly joined the vision because of Paul Heyman. Maybe the respect for Paul Heyman. Really, I think from the beginning, neither one of these guys had a big respect for Seth Rollins. Like I said, you had Bronson Reed, who had already previously had his feud with Seth Rollins that he won, that he pretty much took and put Seth Rollins on the shelf. He already knows that he can beat Seth Rollins. And then you have Bron Breakker again. Like I said before, even before Bron Breakker got to WWE, when he had his incredible run coming out in NXT, we already knew this guy was going to be him. You know what I mean? We knew he was going to be Himothy. You feel me? Like, so nothing about either one of these guys said, oh yeah, you know, we're here to serve Seth Rollins ever. I feel like it's always been a respect for Paul Heyman, and that's just how it's always been. That's how it's going to be. So, but again, with the timing of this turn did throw a lot of people off, especially during this past Monday when you had, you know, Raw coming from Australia. So I know for us here on the West Coast, it was like, what, like a 7 or 8 a.m. Raw. So, I mean, we didn't expect to get the Vision breaking up before lunch. You know what I mean? But again, also, we're hearing that Seth Rollins is going to be on the shelf. So he has a real life injury. And I believe it's a shoulder injury. So what obviously common sense or the thinking process would be that this turn happened due to the fact that they had to get Seth Rollins off of TV and out of the storyline. And he's going to be out for a very long time. We're hearing now that he won't make WrestleMania, or at least that's what's being said. Obviously, we've seen wrestlers, especially people like Seth and Cody Rhodes, these guys bounce back a lot earlier from injuries. So we'll obviously you never want to see any star, no matter how you feel about them as far as storyline or character development wise, you never want to see anybody injured. So definitely wishing Seth Rollins a speedy recovery back to the screen. For what it is, I'm a Seth Rollins fan. Even when he's a heel, I love the whole persona and him as an athlete, him as a star. So hopefully he can get back. It kind of sucks because even though I'm pretty sure that this turn was going to happen regardless, I feel like there was more long-term storytelling to happen. And I'm pretty sure they weren't gonna have it happen this early had he not got injured. So now we're all looking to see what is going to be done as far as the world title. During the turn, you know, you ended the show where we had Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker and Paul Heyman standing over Seth Rollins. Bron Breakker takes the belt from Seth Rollins and hosts it and above his head. Obviously, Bron Breakker isn't officially the world champion, but he physically took the belt, maybe as a signal that he's coming for the title or he thinks that he should be world champion. So, I mean, what I would do, because then obviously earlier on in the show or later on have you, you had CM Punk become the number one contender for the world title at, I believe it's going to be at Saturday night's main event, I believe. So now, to me, the obvious thing to do would be is to put Bron Breakker against CM Punk for the vacated world title. So we will see. So I'm pretty sure definitely coming into this Monday, and because I mean, here we are. I mean, we have time, right? Because that show, oh, I'm sorry. So I don't, so again, okay, so I'm sorry. So I'm gonna go back here. So if you guys want to correct me or comment below if I'm wrong, I'm not sure if CM Punk is getting that shot at Saturday night's main event or if he's getting that shot at Survivor Series. So I'm not sure which one, but either way, we're gonna have to figure out who's gonna be challenging for this vacated world title, because obviously the title is gonna be vacated with Seth Rollins being out for so long. I don't see them holding up the world title waiting for him to return. You just can't have that. You can't not have a champion. But then again, you already have, you have two world championships. Well, you have the Undisputed, you have Cody Rhodes walking around healthy with his title. So maybe they could go that route if they, or if they feel like that maybe, hey, maybe Seth can come back in a certain amount of time. But it's already being said that he's gonna miss up to WrestleMania. And I just, or even past WrestleMania, so I'm sorry. So I just don't see them holding the world title for that long. I don't. So I'm just say, I mean, safe to assume that we're getting a vacated world title situation. So we're keeping an eye on development of that. And then also going back to the whole turn. So I'm wondering how they're gonna go with that. So did Paul Heyman know that they were gonna? I don't think that Paul Heyman knew that this was coming. I feel like this was a Braun breaker. I don't think that anybody in that group knew that the turn was coming except for Braun Breaker. We saw the surprise look on the face of Bronson Reed. Braun Breaker's like, hey man, either you're coming with me or you're staying with him. What you gonna do? Bronson Reed decides to side with Braun Breaker and then proceeds to hit the tsunami on Seth Rollins. And then, of course, we saw the facial expression of Paul Heyman, who looked absolutely shocked, like he had no idea what was going on. But then again, we know that we can't trust Paul Heyman. So perhaps maybe Paul Heyman was, had already spoken with Braun Breaker off to the side about it, or it could be a genuine reaction that Paul Heyman did not see this coming and he's just surprised as the rest of us. So time will tell where that goes with that one. But I just wanted to kind of, and this goes back to what I said to you guys a couple of episodes ago when we covered the Crown Jewel event, when, Paul Heyman was in the back, pretty much in a sense, he threatened Seth Rollins, like, hey, you have to win this match. And then the comments that he made that we talked about already last episode or so, when he was just, when he addressed Braun Breaker and Bronson Reed in the back about, hey, you know what? And they asked Paul, they said, hey, what happens if Seth Rollins doesn't win this match? Then what happens? And then Paul says, hey, I think you both know the answer to that question. And then fast forward on to what goes down on Monday. So we shall see where this leads. Then also, just want to speak a little bit more here on Monday Night Raw. Shout out to that boy, Dirty Dom Mysterio, doing his thing, very Eddie Guerrero-ish. And we would have it no other way as he utilizes the hammer, a literal hammer, against to pick up, to cheat and pick up the win and retain his Intercontinental title over Pentagon. But even before that spot, it was an amazing match between two amazing stars. I love Pentagon, love Dirty Dom. Both those guys did their thing, but Dirty Dom doing what Dirty Dom does and finding a way to get the job done and retaining the title. If you're not enjoying this ride that Dirty Dom is on, then you're smoking on something. Because, I mean, just appreciating his character development and how far he's come. And not only that, coming into his own, but still being able to give us those nostalgia moments where you see a little bit here and there of Eddie Guerrero coming out. It's like the second coming of Eddie Guerrero. And every time he comes out, it brings that feeling. But it's not like, too overwhelming. It's not like, oh, here he goes again, trying to overdo the whole Eddie thing. It's kind of like the same thing with Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker brings that nostalgia and of the Steiners without overdoing it, without leaning or depending on it. He's still his own unique, fresh, new character. And it's the same exact thing with Dirty Dom. So that's why I really love what he's doing right now. It's really, really good work. And yeah, just shout out to your boy Dirty Dom. And then obviously, let's see what else we got here. I'm just going through, guys. I'm not reviewing the entire Monday Night Raw. Those are really the sticking points. The big thing I wanted to get across here was the vision turning. And I wanted to shout out my boy Dom. Of course, we had a lot more stuff going on the show, but I'm just going to really scale over. One thing I will speak on is that we saw a program here get rolling between, I believe it was Roxanne Perez and, your girl Stephanie Valkyr had a little face-off. Really, she had a face-off really between, well, Raquel Gonzalez and Roxanne Perez, but I feel like they're kind of leaning towards a program with her mainly against Roxanne Perez, and I'm here for it. Both of these girls coming out of NXT now on the main roster on a big stage. Obviously, Stephanie Valkyr is cooking right now. She's on absolute fire. Roxanne still has a ton of potential and momentum behind her as she's on the Raw roster. I love the way she's being utilized right now. And I'll tell you what, she's being utilized a hell of a lot better than Julia is being utilized on SmackDown. I'm not like complaining about how Julia was being used, but I just feel like, in my opinion, I feel like Julia should be on the same level as Stephanie Valkyrie, but I get it that you can't always push everybody at the same time. So it's like you kind of got to give, you know, WWE likes to kind of give everybody like their own piece of the pie for a certain amount of time, for X amount of months at a time, sometimes for X amount of years at a time. So I get it. But I feel like big things are still coming for her. Yeah, she's the United States champion right now, so she's doing something, which is better than nothing, right? But I just, you know, I mean, I feel that way. But back to the Stephanie Valkyrie Roxanne thing, we'll see how far they go with that. I know that Stephanie was dealing with some illness, nothing crazy. I think she was just kind of under the weather. They didn't really go in detail about that. She had the match at Crown Jewel, but she's had limited matches here. I just feel like they're taking it easy on her, which is fine. Hopefully, pretty soon, we get that Roxanne and Stephanie Valkyrie match going, though, because I definitely want to see that one. Like I said, not going to cover this whole thing. Obviously, we had Bound for Glory that went down, TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view. Shout out to that boy, Mike Santana, the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion, finishing his story finally over Trick Williams, which to me was a very exhausting storyline. It wasn't a bad one, and I didn't hate it, but it just got to a point very redundant. And then I think not really at Trick Williams. Trick was fine. I'm looking more at the storytelling of Mike Santana. Just, I feel like very redundant promos from him. All about the same stuff, you know, doing it for the people, doing it for his daughter. Honestly, I really, you know, I don't have a problem with Mike Santana, but I just feel like a very dry. It could have been more to it. I feel like more to it. Maybe just, I don't know. I'm not super big right now or really super sold on Mike Santana, but all the same, shout out to him getting that title because that's the first step to further getting your character out there. And now we're seeing, to me that TNA and NXT are kind of playing hot potato with Trick Williams. I feel like Trick, they don't really know what they want to do with Trick Williams. They found usage for him in this TNA versus NXT storyline with Mike Santana. Now that he's lost the belt, he's back over at NXT, next weekend at Halloween Havoc, October 23rd, I believe he'll be challenging Ricky Saints for the NXT world title just after losing the TNA title, which kind of worries me, guys, because, and also shout out to that boy, Ricky Saints, the new NXT champion. But this, first of all, so happy to see Ricky come from AEW and get the flowers that he deserves over in NXT. My issue is that they let Trick Williams go into Halloween Havoc and take the belt right off of Ricky Saints, which I'm not going to lie, would kind of piss me off because it's like, okay, Ricky Saints finally getting his flowers, finally getting to that main event scene. And then here comes Trick Williams, an already established guy that's already been NXT champion, just came, I mean, the first guy or first NXT, I believe, superstar to go over and win the men's NXT title. All these accolades, all these things, Trick Williams is that. Trick Williams tomorrow could go to a Monday Night Raw or a SmackDown and be on the main roster. So to have him come in to Halloween Havoc, and I'm not saying that's the plan. I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm not saying I've read that anywhere. Or I'm just saying hopefully that's not the route they're going, to come in to Halloween Havoc and take the belt off of Ricky Saint. And even if that is the plan, guys, the only thing that I could see happening that would put Ricky Saints in a position to where he's protected and still respected and still stay and still keeps the momentum is if somebody were to interfere and help Trick Williams regain the NXT World title, which I'm not even sure who that would be. Or why, or what that, what kind of sense that would make storyline wise. So hopefully, what happens is that it's a hard fought match, and Ricky Saints gets the W over Trick Williams. Now I'm fine with Trick Williams starting a new program, and I get it. Like at the same time, even though Trick Williams is established, it's probably still not a good look to have Trick Williams just lose the TNA World Title. What, like last weekend? Then come in two weekends later and just to lose an opportunity at the NXT World title and lose cleanly to Ricky Saints. So I'm cool with some shenanigans happening that causes Trick Williams not to win the NXT World title and for him to go off, I wouldn't say into the sunset, but for him to go off and start a fresh program with someone else. And I also feel like, you know, if for whatever reason they don't feel like they're ready to pull the trigger and put Trick Williams on the main roster, they could still put him in a fresh storyline over on NXT with somebody that he could also help elevate. And it doesn't have to be a title involved because Trick is at that level now where he doesn't have to have a title involved with what he's doing. And he's still box office. He's still big money. So that's just my two cents on that one. But nevertheless, like I said, NXT Halloween Havoc, October 23rd, out in Arizona. It's stacking up to be a decent show. So we'll be taking a look at that next weekend. Also, the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Yo, this was funny as hell, guys. So that match, that match is always entertaining as hell. You never know, first of all, who's going to show up in it. They have that one dude, I forgot his name, so I'm not like super an expert into these social media influencers or whatever, but they have this one dude pop in. I'm sorry for yawning on my pod here. I am always so tired, guys. Like I'm running through this thing here. I'm getting ready to go to the gym here pretty soon. But anyways, so excuse me on that. But what I was saying is, so they had the couple, I think they had an influencer. I forgot his name. Like, again, I mean, I'm pretty sure some of you know who it was if you watched the show. He popped in to the match. And I think he's also an indie wrestler, too. But anyways, so again, the whole point is it's kind of like, to me, I always, and this is no disrespect or a shot at TNA, but it is what it is. I always call the Call Your Shot Gauntlet and a poor man's Royal Rumble. I always have said that. But I do like the concept of the fact how they have, you know, the last two participants in the match. It's not just get your opponent over the top rope like the Rumble. It's, okay, you have to get a pin or a submission. Which, honestly, I wouldn't be mad if the Royal Rumble didn't convert over to those rules. I feel like that particular rule would make the Royal Rumble better. Because now, you know, it's kind of like now, no, it's not kind of, it is. Like, because now you're getting two matches. because you're getting the Call Your Shot gauntlet, or in this case, it would be you get the Royal Rumble, which everybody loves, right? But now that we're past all the surprises and everything and all that type of stuff and all the spots that we are looking for or whatever, now we're down to the final two. And now you get a second match, because those final two are always going to be two top names in the business. So, you know, just like imagine last time if we had got John Cena versus Jey Uso and somebody has to pin or submit the other guy. Imagine how bigger that would have been even for Jay to get, you know, a pin on John Cena, to get a rub off of John Cena. Because it's one thing to luck up and get John Cena over the top rope, but it's a total, entirely different thing to get, Jay Uso to hit, you know, a Uso splash or whatever it's going to be, or a super kick or whatever, and get a 1-2-3 on the GOAT on John Cena. That's a whole nother ball game. I feel like that would have pushed him even further in the stratosphere. So, and we'll probably never see WWE do that. But I mean, now with TKO on board and Nick Khan and everybody else going in on board, never say never. But I'm probably gonna say never. but you never know. If you had told me that WWE was gonna be having WrestleMania in Saudi Arabia, I would have told you that you're crazy. And now here we are. So never say never. Never say never on that one. But anyways, you had Frankie K and Nick Nemeth end up winning. Two guys together. They both ended up tying in the match. And so they both were considered, for the first time ever in TNA history, we had two Call Your Shot. We have two Call Your Shot Gauntlet winners. Not sure how they're going to approach that. Maybe if later on, I could see them most likely just having a match down the line where it's Nick Nemeth versus Frankie K, and the winner is the undisputed Call Your Shot Gauntlet winner. During the main event of Trick Williams and Mike Santana, after Mike Santana won and beat Trick Williams, and real quick, just to deviate this real quick and I'll go back, but also what I forgot to mention is shout out for Mike Santana bringing his daughter into the ring to celebrate with him. And honestly, I feel like that had to happen just because of how much he already implemented his daughter into the storyline. You know, you can't not have her out there. And obviously, she was out there for the whole match. She was out there for the whole show, I think. Like, she was sitting there, or at least for the match she was sitting ringside in the first row watching her dad. So she was there. But, like, shout out to him for finishing that story. And then with, you know, kind of pushing that home storyline-wise and having his daughter come into the ring and celebrate with his daughter. Shout out to him on that storytelling piece. Because for me, with pro wrestling, it's always about the Easter eggs. It's always about the small details that I appreciate, that when somebody covers, I appreciate it as a fan, as a consumer of the product. So shout out to Mike Santana for that regard, even though I was talking a little bit of trash about him earlier. But I'm going to give him that. So bouncing back to what happened after. So after the whole celebration, you had, I believe it was, actually it was both. I think it was both Frankie K and Nick Nemeth coming out to attempt to cash in to Call Your Shot. Before that could happen, the lights go out. And who do we get? We get the return of Elijah, who cracks, I believe it was Nick Nemeth over the head with the guitar. And, I think he might have took both guys out, or I can't remember now. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I'm probably butchering some of these results, but I watch so much wrestling to the point. But I do know that they tried to cash in, and it was pretty much aborted successfully by Elijah interrupting them on that one. So I'm pretty sure they're gonna be looking for him next Impact. He's gonna have some receipts coming his way, coming from the Call Your Shot Gauntlet winners. And then we'll see how they go about deciding who actually is the Call Your Shot Gauntlet winner. There's so much you could do with this. You could have, obviously, a triple threat. You could have, like I said, you could have Frankie K and Nick Nemeth go one-on-one for it. There's different things you could do. And now you just inserted Elijah into the whole mix. So, this week, they did not have an actual live or taped Impact. It was like a best of type show or whatever it was, recap show. I didn't watch it. I mean, I turned it on thinking that it was going to be a new episode, and it wasn't. But this is Usual Business by TNA. They just had their biggest show of the year, which is considered to be their WrestleMania. So I got no problem with that. They usually don't do a show right after. I mean, obviously they'll be back next Thursday, so I'll definitely be tuning in to see what's what over there on that side of things. Also, Kalani Jordan defending successfully her title against Indy Hartwell. And I mean, it was a really good match. Indy Hartwell had her family at ringside. That was cool. To me, it was a coming out party for Kalani Jordan. I think a lot of people are like, oh, you got NXT talent going over to TNA and taking up TV time. No, it's a lot actually of NXT talent. To me, the NXT talent that I see going over to TNA are people that really weren't doing really nothing much in NXT. Now, granted, Kalani Jordan over on NXT, she was North American champion for a short stint. She had a little bit of stuff going during WrestleMania time, like over TakeOver. So she's had her time, but she really hasn't hit that mark. And I feel like now, until she became TNA Women's Champion. Also, even if they are some people that are already established, like your Trick Williams, I think this whole partnership is doing wonders for TNA. You have more eyes than ever on TNA wrestling. And it's the brand is expanding because of it. And like I said, I definitely feel that Kalani Jordan needed this. And this is more than anything that she would have gotten, rather had she just stayed over on NXT. And she's still on NXT. But what I'm saying is, I look at her like a regular member of the TNA roster. I don't look at it like, oh, she's coming up in here and taking up, TNA talent time. I don't look at that at all. So shout out to Kalani Jordan, man, doing her thing, man. And yeah, that's really that for that. I'm not gonna cover the whole thing. One thing I did found that was hilarious was they had the, I don't know, it was like a six man, eight man, whatever it was. You had the system versus the Order Four led by Mustafa Ali and the crew. And what was funny to me, there was all this chaos going on. The Order Four had pretty much asserted their dominance over the system. I mean, the system was hurting, right? And because not because pretty much they had like this street fight, but it was like a war games type, thing where not every member started right away of each team. So basically, the Order Four had the system outnumbered at the time. And so here comes Moose. And I believe Moose was the last entrant for his team, or second to last, or whatever. But here comes Moose, and then you would think, all right, my team is out here, and they're like, and they're getting like destroyed, they're getting beat down, they're getting taken out, they're getting all these things are happening to my team, and you would think that okay, when it's my turn to come out, I'm gonna like bust my ass to get to the ring to help my squad, right? Like I'm gonna like sprint down there. I'm gonna like take off at full speed. I'm gonna get down there at this thing. And Moose just comes out like he's coming out for a singles match. Like he's got all day. He's just chilling. Like he's like not he's showing he don't even, he's got like I mean his full entrance gear on. He doesn't even have his jacket off. Like he's strolling down the aisle, taking his time. Meanwhile, there's members of the system getting their asses kicked by Order Four. So to me, that was funny as shit. Like he didn't show any type of urgency to get to the ring. Just a little small little Easter egg there I noticed about that, which was funny to me. But overall, it was a good match. I'm not even gonna lie, I don't even remember who won that match. I think it might have been the system. It might have been. I can't remember. It was one of those matches that I was like watching. But then I was doing other things around the house. Like I wasn't even really like fully invested into the match. But it wasn't a terrible match. I just wasn't like, okay, sure, whatever, right? It was nothing that we haven't seen before. But that was just funny as hell to me. And then obviously the biggest match to me, well, the biggest match to a lot of people on the card, you had the Dudley Boys versus the Hardy Boys for the last time tables match. Man, that was a really good match. I didn't know what to expect going into this match just because of the age of not the Hardy Boys, because the Hardy Boys, those guys are like Benjamin Button. Like, they're the Benjamin Button tag team of pro wrestling. And if you don't know who Benjamin Button is, go Google that shit. Like, and you're gonna laugh or whatever. Or maybe you won't. But all of my my older 30 plus year old generation, we know, you should know who Benjamin Button is. But anyways, just off of the age and timing here with the Dudley Boys. Now, I know Bubba Ray has had matches over in the indie scene. He's recently been in the ring. He's in decent shape. D-Von, not so. I wasn't so sure about D-Von, how he would handle certain spots in the match or whatever. And not saying that he's like some geriatric whatever, you know. But I just hadn't seen a lot of D-Von, so I didn't know what was going to happen with him or how good he would be. He was really good once he got out there. Everybody was good. I loved every spot, especially Jeff Hardy jumping off the ladder into the tables, bringing the exact spot back from WrestleMania 2000. And again, that right there was a nostalgia nod. And again, my older generation, my 30-plus year old, right back to us again. I will never forget. I was 12 years old watching WrestleMania 2000. That was, as a child, from my childhood, that is my favorite WrestleMania to date. And matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say that's my favorite WrestleMania. And that's saying a lot, because as a grown adult, I attend WrestleMania every year. Every year that my schedule allows it, I go to WrestleMania. Like, I'm currently on a 4 or 5 show streak. I was in Vegas last year. I'll be going to Vegas next year. I'll be going to Saudi Arabia. For all you haters out there, yep, you heard it right. I'll be going to Saudi Arabia. yeah, I mean, so for with everything I've experienced and everything that I do, like, I still say, like, WrestleMania 2000, my favorite WrestleMania. But anyway, and then I still remember the main event for that one. It was a McMahon in every corner. And if I can recall, it was for the world title, and it was Big Show, The Rock, Cactus Jack, and Triple H, obviously, Triple H. Those were the four guys, Fatal 4-Way, and it was a McMahon in every match. And I remember that The Rock ended up hitting the Rock Bottom and, I believe, the People's Elbow on Stephanie McMahon in that one. And then I remember, and I might as well just talk about some of the card here. I've already brought it up. I know I have ADHD, y'all, and I be going off the subject. So y'all gotta bear with me. But anyway, another, like, that was back when they still had the Hardcore Championship. So you had the Hardcore Championship, and I don't mean like they brought it back in more recent years, but it's like a more washed down version of what the Hardcore Championship really was. I'm talking early 2000s. The Hardcore Championship was that title. It was that title, guys. Like, and it was like on the line all the time. You could get jumped by somebody anywhere for that title. And so what they did is they had like a battle royal, and everybody was in this battle royal. It was a timed battle royal, and I forgot how much. It might have been like 20 minutes or 15 minutes or whatever it was. They had on the clock, but pretty much they're in that 15 or 20 minutes. If you, whoever got the pin or submission or whoever, became the new hardcore champion. And then so on. It pretty much was like a game of tag for pro wrestling. Because basically, obviously, if you're the champion, now everybody in this match is looking for you so they can get the pin, right? Even though everybody was fighting each other, because what was funny about it, once somebody got a pin or a submission, the announcer, I think at the time, Lillian Garcia, the ring announcer or whatever, she would say, hey, the new hardcore champion is now so-and-so. So now it's like a game of tag. So now everybody's going to go look for it, right? And I remember the finish for this match was when, I believe it was, I believe it might have been Hardcore Holly winning the match, I think, because Taz had the Taz Mission on somebody, And then Hardcore Holly took a jar, a glass jar of Snickers off of the announce table from Jerry the King Lawler and smashed the entire jar over the head of Taz and got the pin. And then the clock expired as Hardcore Holly gets the pin and he's, the hardcore champion. And obviously, he gets the hell up out of there because even though the match is over, the hardcore title is still always on the line. Which maybe made this battle royal kind of pointless because it's still always on the line anyways, you know what I mean? But it was still entertaining. It was still entertaining. So those were my three top matches, was that hardcore match, the hardcore title match, the main event, the Fatal Four Way, and obviously my other favorite, my third favorite is the Hardy Boys. And I think that match actually was a three way. That was a three way TLC, I believe, because you also had Edge and Christian in there, Dudley Boys and Hardy Boys. But anyways, Jeff Hardy bringing back, reenacting, if you want to call it, that Swanton bomb off the ladder into the table, surprisingly in the Devon Dudley taking that bump too. So that was crazy. And then obviously then the Hardy Boys, which I say obviously because I kind of knew that the Dudley Boys weren't going to win this match. I knew that they, I don't think they were interested in having any more matches. It was a one last time only. The Hardy Boys have made it clear they aren't going anywhere anytime soon. They are just cooking on all cylinders. They have won multiple and currently hold multiple tag team championships. And I can't tell you which ones those are because they're like indie championships. And I don't watch a lot of indie wrestling, which I need to get start getting into. I keep saying I'm gonna do it. I gotta find the time to hop on YouTube and do a little bit of that. But anyways, I think right now they have like what, like three sets of titles. Well, I know they got the NXT tag team titles recently. They got those, and then they got another set of tag titles. So at least three set of tag titles they have. So my point is the Hardy Boys aren't going anywhere anytime soon. So I kind of knew they were gonna win this match. And that and this win, and then not only win this match, but after the match, the Dudley Boys retired right there in the ring, and they handed their boots over to the Hardy Boys. So now, along with this amazing run that the Hardy Boys are having, they're also just got, the ultimate rub and nod, the final passing. I mean, I guess if you want to say it, that the final passing of the torch from the Dudleys. Which I know that's kind of crazy for me to even say that about the Hardy Boys getting a torch passed, because some would look at it and say, hey, the Hardy Boys are close to also retiring. But I mean, I can't see it with the fact that these guys are going around collecting titles like Thanos and Infinity Stones. You know what I mean? So I just don't see it right now. And I don't think there it's going to be anytime soon. So I'm safe to say I'm still going to call it passing the torch. And I don't think it's really just one torch to ever be passed, because people may hear me say that on this show and they say, oh, that's crazy, because the Hardy Boys are also one of the greatest tag teams of all time, like they're veterans. But I think even as a veteran, you can always have more than one type of torch passed. Obviously, there's the first one where it's like, hey, you're a rookie or you're newer to the game or you're coming up and you get a rub by, a big name or something like that. But then I think later on in your career, there's also other opportunities and times where there's even higher levels to achieve, and now there's that next level torch to be passed. And I think that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about the Hardys, that next level torch passed from the Dudley Boys there. So shout out to them guys, man. I mean, obviously the end of an absolute boss ass era, and a lot, well, there are some people out there complaining about the finish to this match, where we saw Jeff and Matt put Bubba Ray through the table for the final finish, and it was kind of like Bubba Ray didn't even put up a fight. I mean, you got to understand that this was like his Ric Flair moment, like Ric Flair and Shawn Michaels moment for Bubba Ray. And if you don't know what I'm referencing, you can go back and check out the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels retirement match, which. Also, that match at WrestleMania, I was at that match live. That was actually my first ever WrestleMania I attended, was when the Ric Flair retirement match happened. So you can go back. But anyways, that's what that was. So people, I don't know, expecting for Bubba Ray to kind of, you know, fight both of those guys. No, that was, hey, you know what? I accept defeat. Put me out of my misery. You guys earned it. That's what that was. So incredible finish, incredible match. Shout out to both teams. The end of an absolute boss ass era, like I said. Man, like we're still on this ride with the Hardy Boys. They have so much. Obviously, they've shown us they've had so much left in the tank. So much more they have to offer to the business even now. So we're on the ride, man. We're on the ride, and I'm here for it. So before I leave you guys today, let's talk about quickly. It is time for the SmackDown review. I'm just going to roll through the show. We had, well, first of all, the biggest thing is we had, obviously, those MFT boys running rampant. I'm talking about Solo Sikoa, Tala Tonga, Tongaleona, Tama Tonga. You say all that shit five times fast, my couch might start floating around the room, right? So they running rampant, making demands, threatening people, bullying people, doing their usual thing. Only for them to end up getting confronted again by the Wyatt Six. I'm here for this match. I don't know when they plan on doing it. I don't know if it's going to be a Survivor Series thing. I don't know if they're going to give it to... I can see them giving us this match Survivor Series weekend on Friday Night SmackDown before Survivor Series. I can see that. Or maybe they give it to us at Survivor Series. I can see that. I'd be down for an MFT Wyatt Six War Games match. I don't know how you guys feel about that. Let me know in the comments or in my DMs how you guys feel about that. But then you had Jacob Fatu, who was supposed to go against Drew McIntyre for a number one contenders match for the Undisputed Championship at Survivor Series. He never made it to that match. He was storyline attacked in the back. He's laying out there. He's got this metal beam thing laying on him. He's bloodied up. They made it look like some of his teeth got knocked out of his mouth. Not even sure. Now, in real life, what is being said that he is taking some time off due to personal issues. It's not health related or injury. He's just taking time off. They're not really putting his business out there in the street. You know what I mean? They're not really telling us why he's out, which I'm not trying to be invasive. You know, I respect that privacy. But the good news is that he's not injured. So hopefully we'll get him back on TV at some point. They didn't really make it seem like they were going to bring him back later or sooner. So we don't know. Then what we thought we'd get a replacement in that match, we didn't get one. We ended up getting Drew McIntyre versus a very pissed off Cody. Cody in a suit. Cody Rhodes in a suit coming through there. Those boys. So Cody's like, look, man. You know, because Cody comes out there. Obviously, Drew comes out there and straight up Drew McIntyre, straight up fashion. And then he's all like, hey, you know, Drew, Jacob Fatu can't compete. You need to go ahead and announce me as number one contender. I'm looking for a handout. Before that can happen, here comes Cody Rhodes. He's like, hey, no, you know what you did. He pretty much comes out there accusing Drew McIntyre of attacking Jacob Fatu, which I don't think that it was Drew McIntyre at all. As we know how these things go, I'm pretty sure it wasn't Drew McIntyre that attacked Jacob Fatu in the back at all. But we'll see who they choose to put in that one. If anything, it was more than likely I would be looking at MFT and Solo Sikoa. Or maybe it's somebody that they're bringing onto the show or somebody new that we don't even see coming. So let's keep an eye on that. But I don't think it was Drew at all. So it ended up being in the main event. It ended up being Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes. It ended up being for the title right then and there. Cody's like, hey, you know what? You don't have to sneak around and beat up people or attack people or try to do underhanded things. Let's have our match right now, right here. So they do it. Cody Rhodes, no ring attire. It's pretty much more of a fight than anything in that match. And then it ends up being a DQ. It ends up being a DQ. In that match, So obviously, and I mean, I knew that they weren't gonna take the title off of Cody and put it on Drew that same night. That would have been crazy, but I knew that wasn't gonna happen. But speaking of titles getting changed, you had Sami Zayn doing his usual open challenge. Here comes your boy, The Miz, tries to follow, which it's crazy because, so now I'm not gonna lie, I did a little bit of a cheating. Well, I wasn't gonna say I cheated because I was on Instagram minding my business and, you know, it popped up in my algorithm, but it showed there was a post saying that Ilya Dragunov was going to be back on SmackDown and challenging for the open challenge. So as soon as I, in the back, when I saw, so I knew he was going to be the open challenger, but I thought it was going to be more of like, okay, Sami Zayn comes out there straight up and does his usual, hey, somebody, whoever's back there, you know, can come out and get some. And then obviously it's Ilya coming out. I didn't expect the extra spot where he was in the back talking to Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is like, hey, check it out. You know, MFT, they're on goofy shit tonight. I don't want you going out there. It's too dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And Sammy's like, no, I'm going to do me anyway. So Sammy goes out there. But then when Sammy leaves, right behind him in the locker room, there's The Miz. So The Miz is overhearing this whole conversation, and he's like, oh, I'm about to go out there, and I'm about to challenge for that United States title. So The Miz follows Sami Zayn out there to attempt to challenge for the title. And as soon as I saw Miz follow him, I'm like, oh, yeah, Carmelo's going to shut that shit down. Because don't forget, it was The Miz that attacked Carmelo when Carmelo was trying to go get his shot at the title. So sure enough, here comes The Miz, and before they even get down the ramp, here comes Carmelo to shut it down. And obviously, a fight breaks out, and here comes a bunch of security to break it up. And those guys get escorted to the back to resolve their issues. But then, after all that, and I'm like, oh, okay, then it dawns on me. I'm like, oh, okay, so they're going to bring in Ilya right after this. And sure enough, the music hits. Here comes Ilya. Fast forward into the match, it is a banger of a match, an absolute banger that we haven't seen on SmackDown in some time, actually. But then ends up, come to find out, Ilya Dragunov pulls it off. They put the belt, he gets the dub, he gets the clean win over Sami Zayn, and becomes the United States champion. So shout out and congratulations to Ilya. Not sure, well, obviously, it was also at a credit of Solo Sikoa distracting Sami Zayn momentarily, giving the window to Ilya to get the dub. But nevertheless, still congratulations to him. I'm just trying to see what they're going to do with the storyline. Okay, are you going to send Sami Zayn after Solo again and have him, you know, is it going to be like, you know what would be crazy to me is if, but I don't know. I don't want to come up with no crazy ass theory. But I mean, Sammy is known to join groups for other causes. Like Sammy is known for that. He'll team up with you. If you have a common enemy or a reason, like he will team up with you. So I could see Sami Zayn possibly teaming up with the Wyatt Six to take on, you know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I know that may sound crazy right now, you know what I mean? But I could see it. I wouldn't be overly surprised if they did that. Or if this is Sami Zayn going off TV for a while too, is he also going to take time off? Maybe he's not even going to be involved with the with anything. But then if that was the case, there would have not been the purpose for Solo to come out there and distract him. But then again, you know, with long-term storytelling, that could still be a thing. So there's several things that could happen here. So that has my curiosity right now. But that, or are they going to ignore it and then have Sammy get a rematch against Ilya for the United States title? Like, what's going down? We got to figure it out. Because don't forget, it was Sammy that took that belt from Solo Sikoa, which Solo still has beef with. That's why he came out and did what he did. So now we have to wait and see how Sami Zayn responds to all of this. And we'll have to see what's next. Ilya Dragunov, the new United States champion. But, you know, who's going to be his next challenger? Who's going to be coming now after the United States title? I don't really see a ton of challenges on SmackDown. So that's another question I have. So a lot of questions. Really, we were left on SmackDown with a lot more. Really, right now, WWE, really on Raw and SmackDown this week, we were left with a lot more questions than answers. Pretty much. So there's that. But that's pretty much that show. And oh, then of course we had Zaruka making their debut tag team match. They had a tag team opportunity at the titles against Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. We already knew that Charlotte and Alexa are not dropping these titles. They weren't going to drop them on Friday, and they probably won't drop them for some time. And especially not to Zaruka. Nothing against Zarya and Soruka, but they just aren't ready to get a win like that, I don't think. Or they're not going to do that right now. That was more of just when they bring on these NXT stars to the main roster like that in these temporary matches, it's more to see what the chemistry is like on that particular show with certain superstars, with certain main roster superstars. What is their chemistry? What is the fan reaction to them being on the show? All these things are being looked at, which is why also you have Blake Monroe, who was in the crowd. She didn't directly physically get involved with the match, but she did cause a distraction to Zaruka from ringside from her seat that gave Charlotte and Alexa the win. So right there, that's just pretty much classic. You not wanting to take the belts off of, Charlotte and Alexa and make them look bad, but you also don't want to get Zaruka into a clean squash that really just doesn't make them look, that challenging. So to have Blake Monroe get the distraction and that really protects Zaruka while also keeping the belts on Charlotte and Alexa and keep them looking good. So I have no beef with the finish. And of course, Blake Monroe got her TV time on the main roster, so that was also dope. Any TV time on the main roster is always a good time. So no beef with any of that. Overall, I'd have to go ahead and rate this past Friday's show. I have to go ahead and give it a solid 7.5. Nothing super crazy for a SmackDown for me this week. Before I let you guys go, speaking of reviews, I finally got out to go see The Rock's new movie, The Smashing Machine. It was very good. I learned a lot of things that I didn't know about the UFC, the history of the UFC. I know there's been some reviews and critics out there saying that it wasn't that good, or at least it didn't get what was expected at the box office. I mean, that's on the money and the business side, but just from a movie, I mean, to me, I'm a frequent moviegoer. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go see Black Phone 2 most likely either tonight, or I'm going to go see it tomorrow. But either way, I'm one of those people. So I think it was good. It was better than what I expected. I didn't expect for it to be bad, but I expected for it to be like, okay, for me starting out, it was like, okay, I'm gonna go see this movie just because The Rock is in it. I'll be honest, I'm a big Rock fan. Rock could make anything and I'm gonna go see it. You know what I mean? So that was the original thing. But once I got in the theater and I got into the movie, I'm like, hey, you know what? This actually has really good context. It's actually a very good story. And I mean, it's obviously it's all based off, a real person who's still, I mean, a UFC legend who is still walking, breathing, and talking. So it's very good. So I encourage everybody to go check it out. And I think you'll enjoy it, The Smashing Machine for sure. And also go check out Black Phone 2. Now I haven't went to go see that yet, but I'm already telling everybody to go see it. But when I get back on here again with you guys, I'll give my review on that one as well. Somebody hit me up and remind me to do that so I can write it into the next pod. Or you know what? I'm gonna put it here in my notes on my iPad, on my pod notes for next pod to mention Black Phone 2. Gonna make sure that happens. Also, go check out. I want to give a shout out before I go. Shout out to my boy and my best friend, my brother, my boy David Lucas. David Lucas, a famous comedian, upcoming comedian. We always hang out, but I got to get out, made time to get out again. to one of his shows over this past weekend in Burbank. It was a great time as usual. Funny stuff as usual. If you don't know him, go check him out. Look him up. Give him a couple of likes. Give him a couple of mentions. Check out his content. His content. I think you'll very much enjoy it. He's a great guy and even a funnier guy. That's David Lucas. And that's David Lucas Funny on Instagram. David Lucas Funny. Go check him out. That's my boy. Show him some love, guys. Anyways, like I said, we're gearing up tonight for Wrestle Dream, AEW Wrestle Dream out there in St. Louis. I got some buddies out there in St. Louis. Shout out to those guys. Hope you guys. Well, I know those guys are going to be going out to the show tonight for sure. So you guys stay safe out there. Enjoy the show tonight. And with that being said, I got to cut out of here because it is time. This pre-workout is kicking in, running through my veins, and I'm ready to get it in, guys. So with that being said, without further ado, I'm going to bid you guys a farewell. And shout out to all my audio listeners. Like I said, today we weren't on IG Live, but we are here on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and everywhere else on the planet. So thank you guys for wherever you're at, for the downloads, for the listen, for the streams, for the likes. Make sure if this is your first time listening to the Trail Count, make sure you subscribe so you get those alerts when new episodes are uploaded. And until next guy. I told you the pre-workout is kicking in, y'all. I gotta go. So until next time, I want you guys to be safe. And I'm going to catch you guys on the other side next episode. Peace.